Once again, Mark Stanton Welch here. This is Tools for the Times. We are on Block 4, Session 4, Abundance, Prosperity, and Manifestation. And this is the 22nd of March in the year 2016. So I just put something up on the page that was at about 2 minutes till. In fact, I was 1 minute behind in the call because I was waiting for that to post itself. So it's up there. If you have access to your computer and you're right there, why don't you just hit a refresh, the big circle up in the left corner on Google, and however it shows up in the other programs. But do that. And I think what you'll notice as you run your mouse over everything is that only a few of these are lit up. And this has purpose. It was interesting the way that this all unfolded because I've been doing a lot of research on this, and there are as many perspectives on manifestation, abundance, and prosperity as there are people on this planet. And it's so interesting to be wading through so many different perspectives and how each will tout their perspective as the very one that's going to typically make someone healthy, happy, and in the perfect relationship, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it's fascinating to see how the approach is so often about stuff. That true happiness will come when we've just got enough stuff and we got enough situations and people in our lives, et cetera, that it will make everything kind of go away. Anything that's not in alignment with that will be no longer needed or necessary, or maybe it will just vanish into thin air. But what's interesting in the new approaches to prosperity, even beyond what the secret was, because we have to look at the secret and the work of that crew as a go-between. It was basically a borrowing, and maybe it was a stealing on some level, from information that was around in the turn of the decade in the 1800s and 1900s. There were a whole lot of fellas, and typically it was males, if you stay out of the metaphysical areas with theosophists like Annie Besant and Alice Bailey and some of those very, very powerful metaphysical women who laid the basis for so much of what is being held. In the early 1900s, there were a whole lot of writers that were writing these elements of the way, the nature of the dimension. And it wasn't coming from esoteric realms. It was coming as information about the way it works. And a lot of that was dug up in these old books. Now, I'm a devotee of my Kindle app because I can carry every book I ever want in my, it's actually in my iPad at this point. And wherever I go, I have access to this information. And because of that, it's interesting because all of these old wise books from that period of time have been assembled in various collections or as individuals, and so many of them are for 99 cents. You know, because when the Kindle thing started, everything was 99 cents. The latest incarnation through some of the major publishing houses, since they realize that people aren't buying books anymore, they're buying e-books, and they're buying the ones in the Kindle apps or whatever it is, they're now charging up to $22 for a paperback. And it's just gone into the obscene land again. But, you know, that's the way it goes. My point is that these books have been around for a long, long time, and they're being offered. And these are the very books, I believe, based on the information I read and so many of the resources from especially the people I was talking about in The Secret and that whole genre that came out, gosh, it was probably quite a few years ago now that we start to look at, somewhere in the 2000s, is that they were taking principles that were a part of that information back then and then treating them as if it was new information. So regardless of the integrity of doing such things, we begin to look at the idea that the principles that we're building things upon and we're beginning to look at again are built upon some very, very long-standing principles that were running contrary to the forms of how culture, society, family, etc. were showing up. So the beacons began to shine in the Piscean Age as these indicators of the new ways that were beginning to show themselves. So part of our time in this particular group of sessions on manifestation and abundance and prosperity is to look at, you know, the new ways of being, the new paradigms that are coming in, which we have touched upon so many, many times, but they do bear repeating. The other is to look very honestly at where we have been, personally and collectively. And the third is then to begin to apply these principles to our moments of living. What I'm seeing as Tools for the Times enters its twilight phase here, as we're moving towards the four lessons and sessions that are left, I'm realizing that these are pretty good-sized applications of much of what we've learned so far. And that is the beauty of it. And in a sense, it's these greatest hits of all of the lessons that are being put into grand application. So we looked at health, we looked at relationship, and now we're looking at money or abundance. And let's face it, when we look at abundance and prosperity, it typically is about money. That is part of the programming. Now, we each come here with a relationship with abundance, with money, with an experience that has formulated certain belief systems, attitudes, patterns that are affecting on the outside where we are in the inside. And that's to a great degree. Of all of us on the call, we probably all have a unique or a different or a similar experience when it comes to the green stuff. The idea of abundance goes far beyond just money. The idea of prosperity does as well. We will be looking at all of those pieces and seeing how they apply, but this is a very, very personal thing for each of us, mainly because we have personal history. And the personal history has elements. Now, you may have one element of abundance that is really working for you. And it may be that your relationships are very solid. It may be that your self-care is such that you are abundant in your health. It may be that your capacity to have time on your hands because of the efficiency of how you do things is part of the abundant living, because then you're able to experience the life in a different way. You may have a very, very successful history with money, work, etc., that has come that has resulted in you being very comfortable in relation to that. So anything that I apply in this in these sessions about money is actually applying to whatever it is in the realm of abundance, in the realm of prosperity, and in the process of manifestation. And the reason money is becoming the issue, well, that's a personal thing for me, because that's been a long-standing element of where I've worked with in various permutations, regardless of what I came into the planet with, and regardless of what occurred in the very early days for me, it was really easy to play out a lot of misinformation and beliefs. So I have a very poignant and painful at times relationship with that, that has caused me as well as people around me some discomfort. And in this long journey of learning, it is very interesting that especially in this time of my life, that I'm looking at this in a depth that I had only hinted towards and wanted to and kept saying, darn it, I'm going to go ahead and do this one of these days and get all this together and finally figure out what's underneath it. Here I am under the guise of being the facilitator of this, really just one book, one breath, one step ahead of perhaps where you are in relation to the research, not necessarily in where you're coming from, and I'm acting as if I know what I'm talking about. So I have to own that. But what I am discovering here is that there are principles, there are actions that can be taken with a consciousness that really will change the way the universe responds to us. Now, everything we've done so far in all of these sessions has been leading to these moments, as I started to say earlier. The experience of learning the nature of things, of looking at the cycles, of looking at how beliefs work, looking at emotions, et cetera, they are all coming into play when it comes to making manifest. And the reason money is so interesting and that we'll go ahead and look at that as our foundational tool, once again, that can be applied to anything in relation to the field, is that it has such an impact. You can be out of relationship. You can have poor health. And yet a lot of people are coping. A lot of people are getting by. Some people just live alone. Some people just grind it through whatever illness they've got, and they make it okay, and they rely upon the power and the presence of the body or the spirit force or whatever it is, and they have an okay life, or they have a decent life, or they have a great life. And yet it seems when money starts to fall apart that the shit hits the fan, that the fear is motivated to such a degree that it immobilizes. And this happens more often than not. It's happened in my life at certain times. So there's a process of magical thinking that is a childlike state that is beautiful when it comes to manifestation. But it's a very, very unproductive thing to use when one uses the magical thinking as a way to not be in touch with what, quote-unquote, is really going on, which I have done. And call it the creative state, call it a really beautiful sense of wonder or an expanded imagination, whatever you want to call it, it is completely dysfunctional at times, and it creates great discomfort to me. So I am very invested in this process, and I think because of it, it was necessary for me to take the path that I'm taking. And let me talk about what that's going to be. There's a very distinct possibility, and I could hear groans already. This may be a session that takes three times, and here is why. Very much like the rebirth of I Am, things that I do down here, there's a process of first taking stock on the first day. Now, the rebirth of I Am is a three-day cycle. I know some of you have been a part of that. The first day really is about taking stock of what has been and what you carry to the table at the moment. The messages, the learned behaviors, the beliefs, the et cetera, are mighty, mighty elements that direct behavior without even thinking about it. They have become subconscious patterns that have neural pathways completely grooved into our being, where we respond, we act, we do, we think in particular ways that keep giving us certain forms. The insidiousness of our culture, especially Western culture, and its relationship with money as a tool for purchase of possession, as a tool for the control, as a tool for greed, as a tool for manipulation, infiltrates the essence of all of us on a cursory level. And I don't mean to say that the essence, what do I mean by that, on a cursory level? It doesn't go to the core of us. The core of us is all still intact, holding the information and awareness that we came into the planet with. We all know the big picture. Sure, it's been tossed and manipulated and whitewashed, et cetera, but it's all there. So the influence of these external elements upon us doesn't go to the core, but it might as well. Let's just say that. So in these times, with the support of the cosmos, there's some undoing to be done. So here's how it's showing up. Tonight is going to actually be an abbreviated call, because tonight is an opportunity for you to set aside the moments and the time that you would be putting into the class and the session to do some, to take stock of yourself, to begin to reflect upon and to use some tools that I'm going to offer here to just establish a base and awareness of where you are, where you have been, and what you intend. And there are several ways, and I'm going to do it. If you have your work in front of you, I mean your page in front of you, just a minute, I'm making a course shift here for just a moment. Let me go ahead and read over here underneath the lavender fields, that beautiful picture there. That's in Provence, I believe, in some lavender fields in France. Nice place. Let me read underneath that what was the introduction for this. I said, by design, the earth plane provides all we need to thrive and live a moment-by-moment life of grand adventure and profound learning. The curiosity is that up until these times, we incarnated into a veil that distracted us from our true knowings about ourselves and about the environment in which we set up a new home. And so it is. But newer generations are entering with the profound awareness that many of us have grown long and hard to reclaim. It is both a blessing and a burden. The blessing is that we have done our diligence and expansion to raise individual and collective vibration to support the ushering in of this now age. The burden is that many of us have grown weary and now the new vibration is infiltrating the moments. Many are tired and are experiencing the frustration of the way things have been, as well as tired minds and bodies and the weight of so much change in such a short time. For some reason, it was important for me to say this, maybe just for myself, about how sometimes it just becomes overwhelming and it's easy to lose one's momentum. And this is a sure way that we begin to surrender and let go, one, in ways of higher frequency and also ways of lower frequency. At some point, we give up and we begin to attract to ourselves lower frequency energies because we just don't have the so-called resistance anymore. On the other hand, the giving up and the idea of quit pushing and allowing ourselves to surrender then ignites a flood and a flow of both information and experience and change into our lives, because it's as if the cosmos was waiting for this moment of letting go. Those of us who have worked long and hard to sustain a frequency and to create, as like good parents would do, a beautiful place for the children to arrive into, have done magnificent things. And most of us don't even realize what we've done, because we're so often dealing with what's in front of us, facing what's there, experiencing it at very various levels. We do what we do, and we just keep doing that. Well, until we started taking tools for the times. Because for almost a year now, and this actually might be the anniversary of when we started, we have been confronting the lazy ways. We've been confronting the old paradigms, belief systems, patterns that did never really truly served us, especially in the new frequency of things. And so here we stand, beginning to pull all of this together, somewhat tired, somewhat spent, but still with a fire, a mighty fire burning in us, heart chakra for sure, solar plexus, kind of flickers here and there. Certainly our joy and our excitement of living and our creative selves is really vibrant in there, whether it's showing up for you or not. And our sense of foundation is still a bit shaky. Our capacity to speak our truth has grown in leaps and bounds. The visioning that we can carry through the work we've done with the pituitary and the backside chakras, all of these things begin to remind us of the tools and the process that we have available to us, the tools, the techniques, the capacities. And whether we realize it or not, our connection with the cosmos is mighty right now. But what's beautiful about it is we don't rely upon it. We just allow it. We are spending more of our time in body looking at how we can be more in body so that we can more greatly experience the dimension for what it is. And one doesn't necessarily need to have contact with the cosmos, because contact is there. We're relying upon the higher self. We're relying upon the inner resources that are already in touch with the cosmos, that we don't need to get down on our knees and yearn and gnash teeth for assistance and help. We know that it's already there, and it always has been. But now we access it. So we're in a particularly fertile place to begin working on an issue that has long plagued many in this culture and in these incarnations on this particular plane. Because even those who have the appearance of mighty abundance in the form of money, etc., possessions, etc., the tabloids, the movies, our own experiences, novels, etc., coffee table conversations are about how so many who seem to have so much are so unhappy and so unfulfilled. So in these times of transition, we are looking about how to put these processes in place and to begin to use that which is available to us and always has been. So I'm talking tonight somewhat in circles, and I'm talking about things we have already done, because it's easy to move in a sequence from one thing to the next and forget about what we've done. In the speed, or the seemingly interrupted speed with which we've gone through this course and provided this information, this is lifetimes of information in the not-so-distant past. Energetically, the vibration was so high with some of this information that it would disintegrate people, and they just would vacate their bodies and leave themselves because they couldn't deal with the frequencies, even though the information was magnificent or life-changing. We are at a higher vibration now as a result of the evolution of so many things, but mostly by the personal choices that each of you have made. And that is a powerful thing. And to be at a place where we can take stock and call upon all the things we've learned, whether we remember any of it or not, is really a beautiful place. It's like this lookout point over this vast horizon of infinite possibility. And we stand there getting ready to embark on a journey, getting ready to step off whatever precipice we're on, knowing full well and without hesitation that we are supported and taken care of. And now we get to put things into action. We've been doing so for the past several sessions. When we looked at relationship, it seemed like that was the most important thing in the world. But we realized it was really just one part of it, and it all came back to us to put things into place on the inside. And then we looked at health, because it's such a messy thing in our lives, and it's such a controlling element that we tried to get underneath it. We didn't try. We did. We offered information to get underneath it so that we could pull back the curtain and see it for what it was and reclaim the design and the capacity that each of us has as a powerful being destined and designed for health. And now we take on the other of the big three, the third of the big three. There may end up being four or more. I don't know. But we'll take this on tonight with the idea that we're going to start, like I said, and then back to where we began. We're going to look at our personal current state, and then we're going to move into information about it that may or may not be new to you, that may or may not redirect how you see things, and then you'll get to apply it. We'll all get to apply it in a way that is personal, but yet has a collective impact. Because let me underscore that the work that each of us doing in this process here is mighty, and because of that it impacts the vibration in very significant ways. The vibration that you carry as a result of the information and walk out, and anyone that you run into, anyone you have interaction with, is seeded with information and awareness and frequency that is impacting them. You are delivering the goods without even having to do that. So thank you for doing that, and may it continue to be so. If you will look, let's just look at this very quickly. The gold picture that's right at the center of the page there, that is a Hindu deity, Lakshmi. And Lakshmi is the one who oversees abundance and prosperity. So I thought it was fitting to have her presence here, and plus the color just worked very well for my scheme. And if you look down at the bottom of the page with the colors, the pictures, I love them all. And you see that most of them, in fact, four of the five are related to nature. Because as we start to look at the idea of abundance, there's no better shower, no better teacher about the nature of abundance than nature herself. The red, what these are, is Matjia poppies. It's just a beautiful picture. The center picture with the rainbow and the burst of light there and the hot air balloons rising above it all, that's a beautiful picture. And it reminds us of what we are designed for. And then the inevitable money tree over on the right there. Seems to me I saw one of those in the forest not long ago. The wind blew all the money off, temporarily. To the left underneath Lakshmi, we have some songs we're going to sing here before we leave the call tonight. Right below, you'll see two links in darkened print, Heart's Desire lyrics. There's plenty for all lyrics. If you click on either of those, you will be delivered to just that, the lyrics for a whole CD. There are two. So here's what I'm proposing tonight. Yeah, there's a bit of information, but mostly just to get you situated so that you can do the work. Right underneath applying your awareness of abundance, prosperity, and manifestation in the center column, there are this week's assignments. Typically, this is reserved for the session where we do the activity. Well, I've kind of turned it around because it's a three-prong, as I said. Tonight is about taking stock. The next session will be about the information that supports the new ideas now that you're receptive because you've honestly looked at where you have been, where you are, and where you intend to be. And then the next session, if we choose to make it a three, is about putting things into application. So here's what I propose here. When the call is over, I have to quickly send you all two links, and the links will be to the download of two CDs, one called Sing Your Heart's Desire and the other called There's Plenty for All. Now, I do know that some of you already have these, and if you do, hallelujah. And if you don't, then you're going to get a downloaded version of it, and you may not have done that for your computer already, but I'm going to invite you to do it. Because here's what I believe has to be done in this first phase. One is to take stock, and the other is to begin to implant the information that's coming from the alternative perspectives. Now, we can sit around and go, I know that, and you could probably spout it and do everything. But there's a difference in knowing it and living it. And hopefully, through the course of this week, through the intention of what is happening here, you will begin to integrate these perspectives more deeply because of your willingness to be to participate fully in this particular process that I'm laying out. So there's four stages to this, as you can see, 1, 2, 3, 4, and what I'm going to invite you to do this week. And I know there will be things in the way. I know you may not feel like doing it. It may feel like it's going to take too much time. And then I ask you, what are you truly worth? How much do you want to let go of things that have been in your way that have been not supporting your full, abundant experience? I'm certainly going to be doing these myself. And boy, I don't have the time to do this. And yet here I am at a threshold that I've been wanting to get to for a long time. So tonight, I'm going to say, once we hang up here, it's download both CDs, Sing Your Heart's Desire, and There's Plenty for All. And pretty much tonight is about listening and singing along with each of them. And the lyrics are there to the left. That's what you're going to do, if you choose to. Sometime between now and the next session, next Tuesday, I'm going to ask you again to come back to number two here. It says, listen to Heart's Desire CD and sing along again. Then address the questions for honest reflection above. Okay, so let's go up there. And you can see right above the column where you are at the top, just at the top of Lakshmi's head, questions for honest reflection. If you were to click on that, you would see questions. Our question for honest reflection. And there's a lot there. I borrowed from three resources. One is a fellow named Christopher Penzack, who is there's another way to say it, he's a witch. He's a pagan, and he's done some incredible work. And through the pagan work, what we're realizing is that it is the stuff that's connected with the natural world. The branding of that as a witch was an attempt to discount and eradicate the knowing connection with the cosmos, with the earth, and with the power that lies within all of us. And that's why witches were branded as evil. And then we've been Hollywooded so much that when we even hear the word, we start to think of certain images, etc. But what I have found, and I have to admit, I had a little hesitation going into some of these books, like, am I going to open some evil door? And what I found is basically deep-seated spiritual principle that was connecting on all levels. And I was pleasantly surprised, if not stunned. So Christopher Penzack, through his first book, Ascension Magic, which wasn't his first, but that's the first I got, has become a very, very powerful resource for most of the esoteric work that I do. His book that is now, I'm drawing from this from, is called Witch's Coin. And the Witch's Coin book is all about manifestation and the process of that. And you will be introduced to some very, very interesting, we'll call them incantations. Some may call them spells. We'll just call them tools for making manifest using the natural world as some things that we can go ahead and to make sure that we are able to use a variety of things to support our idea of abundance and prosperity in making manifest that which we deserve and desire. So the whole first section here is looking at your relationship. For the most part, it's with money. Now, once again, if you've got a good relationship with money, look at this anyway, because it's going to cause you to reflect on all elements of your life in one way or another. The same principles hold. I'll underscore that. If you'll scroll down there, then you're going to look into a section called Into the Nitty-Gritty I Go. And this is a pretty intense section that's requiring a lot of you. And it's a whole bunch of lists and reflections you're doing about your personal history. And the making of lists is one good way to see in print that which you have devoted your life to, or perhaps that which you've run away from. I invite you to do them, as many of these as you can. And then the third element of this first taking stock place will be complete these sentences with your very first thought or impulse. If I only had blank, then you may find that there are multiple answers for each of these things. Go ahead and allow that to happen, because what we're doing is we're inviting the inner resistance. We're inviting the whitewash. We're inviting the misinformations. We're inviting the perceived realities to be exposed and to realize that certain insidious thoughts no longer have value whatsoever for us. And it is time to bring them to the light, which is what we will do in time. The interesting thing about these sessions is that as you do this, or these activities, as you do them, inviting you to have in the background one or the other of those CDs playing, just at a barely audible level. So you're getting programming of new information, which are higher perspectives about these. At the same time, you're beginning to reflect on what has really been your journey and finding and weeding out the things that don't support you anymore. So, whatever reason Spirit gave this, I'm going to roll with it, and I really hope that you do as well. So let's look again at number two there. It says, listen to the Heart's Desire CD and sing along again. Then address the questions for honest reflection to be found above. Be clear and honest with yourself. And while doing the questions, allow the CD, Plenty for All, to play softly in the background. Then the third time you revisit this between now and next Tuesday, you're being invited to listen and sing along to There's Plenty for All. Now, and while Heart's Desire is playing, Desirer, is playing softly in the background, read out loud the statements in Principles of the New Paradigm. So we're going to go back up there, and we see in the left column at the top, Principles of New Paradigms, up near the top. It's one of those we can access. And what you'll see, it's like, oh, God, these again? Yes, oh, God, these again. We have seen these from the very first lesson about these principles of this new paradigm, about these principles of these new times, about what you really are. And yeah, I'm bringing them up again, and you will find over the next couple of days there will be additions to the bottom related specifically to abundance, if indeed they aren't up in the top. It is really important that we keep referring to these to make these the way we see and experience the world, as opposed to the old ways that are already embedded like ticks in our tissue. So yeah, here we are once again, things about you. Dimensional details to help you see the playing field again, and especially in application and relationship to the idea of abundance. And the truths in these times, again, these are things that seem so small and trite, perhaps, so common to you now. We keep reinforcing them. Because this is the way that I'm inviting us to consider being in the world in all of our moments. Because it changes everything. And then finally, true self qualities. And below that, you will find some additional information as I write those up. Okay, we go back out of that, and we go down to number four, which will be hopefully between now, and I know this is a lot, but this really seems important. The whole sequence is important as far as I can see, not only to me, but to the really beautiful opportunity to put into application almost all that we've learned. Number four says, listen and sing along to heart's desire. And then in the silence, speak. That seems a little contradictory. If I'm in the silence, how am I going to speak? Well, in the silence, meaning there's no music in the background. At this point, you create the silent space, and then your voice is the only music that is heard. You're going to speak all of the empowering statements three times each, and you follow up with listening and singing along with There's Plenty for All. So you can see that this is a commitment of time, but four times is probably going to take a good 2 hours. If you can make any of that, it is going to benefit you. Let's go up to empowering statements up in the top left column. And you're going to see some things you've seen before from my dear friend who I never met, Zakayan, the gentleman from down in Australia. You will see statements, decrees, empowering statements there. I'm going to invite you to speak them each aloud three times. Because three, from my work with Christopher Penzack, three is that powerful number of manifestation that puts things absolutely in motion. So you go through that, and then beyond that, I have gone to, in the few of these of you who've heard, and some of them you have not. There's a fellow named Dane, and I'm forgetting his name, sorry, but I'll put it in there and make sure that they receive appreciation for it. They've done something called Access Consciousness. And the most famous statement that I use and that I know of, although I use a lot of these, how does it get any better than this? How does it get any better than this? This is the source where those kinds of statements have come from. And in here, and we have used a lot of these before in one of the sessions, I believe, on beliefs. So I brought it back because we're applying it to here. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. And if I say that 10 times in the morning and 10 times at night for the period of the 7 days, you're going to beginning to experience and see the power of the spoken word. These are consciousness-changing statements that will serve you. And although they may seem just like words right now, they are oh so much more. Play with them. Play with them. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. There are certain ways, and I mean, not ways, but certain words that can be spoken that when you speak them, your body responds. It's like a buzz begins to happen. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. And you know by the power of the spoken word, you are commanding the forms of life to show up for you in this frequency. All life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. So the more I say it, the more I want to say it in a very expressive way. And I want my body to move with it because that's what's happening here in the comfort of my own home. I'm starting to get very animated in wanting to say these things because that's what they bring. They create movement on the inside. And any movement that is there is pushing away the debris. It's eradicating those old energies that have kept our patterns in place, that have kept us in resistance. Because, yeah, we've gone almost a year looking at this information, and it has done its work. And now we're down to the nubs. We're down into those places and nooks and crannies where we hold on to our precious old ways of doing things. And we're just revealing them and putting them in the light and sending them on their way with a great big thank you. But see ya. Because it's what we must do, I believe. So here, and this will grow, you will have a large resource of statements to say. And this is the kind of stuff in our moments of living when something seems to shock us or something seems to get in the way of us and it's not turning out the way we want. These are the statements that we go to. Because under no circumstances do we ever want to reinforce the old ways again. Now, that's our intent. Now, is that going to happen today? I don't know. Good chance it won't. Good chance when they hang up the phone, something will come up and we'll get, oh, crap. I got to deal with that again. I hate this. And then in a moment, you'll realize you went, oh. Okay, cancel. All life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. How does it get better than this? And every one of those is an invitation for a new reality. When you talk manifestation, you are inviting in a brand new experience that will reflect nothing but the abundance and the prosperity of your world in the now. Phew! Why not? So I'm telling you, tonight's, this is different. Well, we've gone about 45 minutes here. It's amazing what I can do when I start talking. I'm going to do one last thing here, and then I'm going to let you go. And please, if you feel that you cannot do all of these, or if you feel uncomfortable, or if it's stressing you out, acknowledge that and do them all. Find time between now and Tuesday to run through all of these. That would be, I guess, all told, 8 hours of your life, more or less, where you can actually create a beautiful, fertile ground for us to then begin implanting the information about what the true nature of abundance and prosperity and how to make it so. And finally, let's go to an interesting title that came. It's called Tools of Diminishment. This was just a list of things that kept coming to me, and sorry, I just posted this at the very last minute there, and I didn't take empowering statements. By no means are these empowering, so that'll be gone. But these are tools of diminishing and contraction. Any application of these particular elements is going to interrupt the flow of you, is going to cause restriction, is going to limit your capacity to manifest. It's going to limit and diminish your capacity to release the old energies. Any loyalty to any of these things here, any of these ways of being, is going to cause you to go into the forest on a winding path that probably sounds familiar and comfortable, but is very, very contracting and diminishing and is interrupting your own capacity and your and willingness to manifest that which you deserve and desire. So these tools of diminishing and contraction, all I want to do is make them known. You know how these have applied in your life, if at all. If they do, I'm really going to encourage you to make a list of the ones that you have a personal experience with and make a personal commitment to go, you know what? I'm going to do everything I can right now to let these things go. And then it becomes a conscious choice through your capacity to be aware, which is the foundation of the entire Tools for the Times, awareness, and your ability to act upon that awareness. So if you use the tool of judgment, the tool of withholding, the tool of believing in scarcity, the tool of hoarding, the tool of resisting, the tool of contentment, the tool of the comfort zone. Let me say something about contentment. It's like, what are you talking about? I want to be contented. I want things to feel really good. There's nothing wrong with temporary contentment. But if the contentment becomes too important, then the next thing we know, we've created our comfort zone, and we've already established that the comfort zone is one of the least productive places that we can be in. Now, I'm not saying a nice layback on a day, having a beer on the porch, eating homemade guacamole is not worth it. Absolutely. But when that becomes all of it, that I begin to not pay attention to how the universe is showing up for me and gifting me with moments of living and juicy opportunities to expand, and I'm doing beer and guacamole on the deck day after day, pretty soon I'm going to realize that life is going to move on. So any that ruffle your feathers or any of these that where you have a little issue with, those are worth looking at. Another tool for diminishment and contraction is routines. The trouble with routines is that they cause us to not pay attention. And then we miss opportunities that are laid there by our little joy guides and our higher self, et cetera, because we're caught in the routine of it instead of the capacity to be fully aware. I much prefer full awareness to routines. The tool of restriction, the tool of diminishment as fear, the recycling of hurts. Oh, you want to know about the pain I've had? You want to hear it over? Will you listen to me? You over there, you want to hear? I want to tell you. That's kind of the recycling of hurts, but that's also telling the story over and over again. I'm making a little bit of fun of it, but it really does work out that way. That's how we do it, because we want to be heard, that little one. But when we recycle our hurts, the universe is bound by law to give us more to support that. I don't think I want that anymore. The tool of relying on the past, tool of hesitation. Hesitation, as we'll see in the next session, interrupts the flow. Hesitation is not being responsive to the now, on one hand, but hesitation can also be a tool that gives us the opportunity to see the bigger picture. You begin to see how things have sides to them and nuances, and in your capacity of clarity, you'll be able to use these in the moment, in the now, for the way that they can be used. The idea of what-ifs, and the what-ifs are okay, but oftentimes we do what-ifs to our own detriment. It's a fearful projection of a future. That's mostly what what-ifs are used for. They interrupt your capacity to be in your full power, which will inevitably mess with your capacity to manifest. Expectations we know about. But what about goal setting? Well, we looked at that, the idea of creating expectations. The expectations are fine if they're open-ended, but when we start telling the universe how to make things show up for us, then I don't think the universe gets pissed off, but I think that it restricts the flow. Assumptions, that's having the arrogance to fill in what we believe is happening, especially in relation to someone else. Assumptions is a learned behavior that happened usually as children. Being beings of vibrant energy and having access to the sensations of energy and how to use that and read the world, we were able to actually pick up a whole lot. Trouble was, it wasn't validated much in the outside world. So a lot of us began to make assumptions about how things were, and the tragedy is that we began to live as if those were true. We make assumptions about how people are, about the certain players were, about what it is to survive, about what's important, about what certain things mean. We make assumptions about what people are thinking, and then we act as if it's the gospel. That's what I'm talking about. That is a sure vehicle to mess with your ability to manifest. Well, you can actually manifest some very important stuff, which is what you really don't want. It'll be the negative reinforcement of the fear. Not speaking your truth interrupts your own flow. The contraction of tradition. Now, there's nothing wrong. That's a great song. Tradition. It's a great song. But the idea of holding on to something because it was so, without applying it to new frequency, might not work the best. Holding resentments. This interrupts the flow. Hatred, using the word hate. Being aggressive, which basically is pushing things away. people-pleasing, which is giving away power, codependency, which is acting self-important at the expense of everyone around us, mostly ourselves, feeling like we're the only one that can take care of everything for everyone. Self-judgment, we know what that does. It diminishes your power. Finding fault and blaming is another way of being aggressive, pushing people away, pushing situations away. Basically, finding fault is to not be willing to look at one's own capacity and one's own behaviors honestly, to look for the grain of truth that gives us our keys to our own kingdom. If I'm all caught up in blaming and finding fault with others, then I am not seeing my own input. I'm not seeing how I contributed to the issue before me. That's going to interfere with the flow, which then stops the manifestation process in terms of what I'm looking for, unless I'm looking for blaming and fault-finding. The contraction, living in the right or wrong polarities, if you see everything as black and white, then what you're missing out is the great middle land, which is where everything occurs. Shutting down, receiving, or giving, those interrupt the flow in mighty ways, and those directly work with manifestation. If you shut down either, what's happening is the cycle is not able to do its work. The circle, the cycle, it doesn't work. There's no other way to put it. It'll work for a while, but pretty soon one dries up, and then I don't care what you're going to say, things won't come in until you start to open up to either one of those. The ideas of money is evil and money not spiritual, those things definitely get in the way. The idea of not trusting life builds a wall around us that won't allow life in. And that's where the abundance, the prosperity, dry up. That's where we start to see challenges. Using affirmations like I don't have enough, or knowing that we are not enough, or holding that one over us, you can see how these are self-demeaning. The process of apathy, of not caring, is very different than saying, I don't know. Not caring is being unwilling to have any investment whatsoever of your time or energy into something that may have great value for it. Boredom is a choice. It's a way we distance ourselves from taking responsibility for our moments and our own happiness. Stress, we all know the capacity of that in the physical, but we also see it in emotions, in the mental, as well as in the spiritual. It demeans and pulls the vibration down and interrupts the flow, which then interrupts your capacity to make manifest that which you desire. Needing acceptance is the wishing and hoping thing. It's the whiner. Come on. Come on, man. Tell me what I need to do. Just tell me what I need to say so you'll accept me. We do it so easily and so casually because we learned it so well. I'm sorry, it doesn't serve you anymore. Not in your conscious self. We already know that should, try, and can't are words that really should be tossed, but I try so many times to throw them away and not use them, but I just can't stop using them. Boy, have I built a little prison around myself there. Choosing to be a victim of life, that's a good one. We've all been taught in many ways to be victims of life. It's easier to think that something is happening to us rather than us having the capacity to make things happen. Wanting to be rescued, again, that's a little bit of a whiny one. Take care of me, looking for relationships to take care of me, looking for situations to rescue me and to take me out of the difficulty of where I am, which then takes me out of responsibility, which then robs my second and third chakra of their capacity to do their work. And then we sit treading water. Self-doubt, filling in blanks, seeking and needing approval, and the great, my story. You don't know suffering until you've heard my story. That desire to be witnessed has plagued us for long, long times. But to be telling our story about our woundings over and over again is really what the 80s were about on the couches. That's what I was paying for, someone to listen to my story. The intent was that I would get so bored with it that I would be able to let go of it at that point. These are really different times. And the story is pretty much, for the most part, worthless after we've told it a few times just to get the energy of it out and then we move on, standing on top of the story to become that which we are. So I wanted to put these out tonight to make sure that you're aware of what it is that has influenced you all along. These kinds of things are insidious, and they show up before we even realize it, for now. But what we're doing is beginning to recognize them as they apply and as they show up, but ultimately before they even start, because we will have moved ourselves beyond them vibrationally and seeing that they no longer serve us. So there's a lot going on here. I think you've got enough time to quite possibly do at least one of the recordings. And even if you go ahead and put one on while you're sleeping, even leave one on in the background, unless it drives people nuts, they're not bad. But I'm going to have you, so I have to get in. And what I have to do is actually create a code for each one of you. So it's going to take probably 10 or 15 minutes. So in the meantime, why don't you just maybe choose to do 2, 3, or 4? There is no order to these. Originally, I thought there was, but when I look at them, you can do whatever you'd like in them. So let's conclude the session tonight with... a couple tunes over on the left side. Stay true to my dream, I must stay open. An unobstructed channel of divine. Persevere, adjust, trust the process. And this or something better shall be mine. Stay open. An unobstructed channel of divine. Persevere, adjust, and trust the process. And this or something better shall be mine, shall be mine. Open to the possible, expect to receive. Trust the life there within you every moment. Act and you will be dancing freely in the oneness, living out the dream and tasting every morsel this life has to offer. Become harmony when I open to the possible, expect to receive. Trust the life there within me every moment. Act and I will be dancing free in the oneness. Living out the dream and tasting every morsel this life has to offer. Become harmony. Speak my words with love. I am
speak with clear intent. With confidence I make it known, without any doubt. Behold my dream, speak my words with love. I am, I am. Speak my words with love. I am, I am. Out into this world I speak with clear intent. With confidence I make it known, without any doubt. Behold my dream, speak my words with love. I am, I am.
And so it is, so it is. Now, those of you that have either Heart's Desire or Plenty for All already as a recording, maybe you can dig it out and start from there. Otherwise, I'm going to be sending out, like I said, individual emails. It's going to take a few minutes for me to do that. I appreciate your willingness to go along with tonight's flow and the way this has changed. I kind of don't know if that's your willingness because nobody said anything. Thank God for Star 6. So, let's get on with it. So, there you go. Many blessings.